Let's hope I don't butcher his name, because he's been a friend of the show for almost 2 years as well. The one and only Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for getting my name right.
Yeah. You know, you've only got one syllable, so it's not all that tough with your first and last name, but I was hopeful I wouldn't be able to screw that up. Then again, Matt Douglas isn't a tough name to
really
say.
It really throws
either,
people.
So,
those two S's at the end, no one knows how to pronounce those.
Yeah, well, you know what the crazy thing is? People know how to pronounce it, they just can't spell
it,
right?
Yes.
Somehow I found a way to screw that up. So we move on and we move forward. Adam, a lot of awesome college football matchups in Week 4. You detailed this earlier today at bangthebook.com. Let's take a look at your three favorite matchups from a handicapping perspective.
Yeah, I'll try to keep this as quick as I possibly can here, running through all three of these games. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking at a few games here this weekend, a couple of conference games and then one interesting non-conference game. LSU and Vanderbilt is the first one. And for people that don't know, I've actually been to Vanderbilt Stadium for a game. They played against South Carolina. It was probably 60-40 South Carolina fans. That's just typical in Nashville. It's a great place to go for a weekend. For anybody that's been there, you know all the reasons why. Vanderbilt has virtually no home field advantage in every conference game that they play. They take on LSU here this weekend. I think LSU is very capable of doing exactly what Georgia did to Vanderbilt in week one. Kept the Commodores to just 3.6 yards per play, did whatever they wanted to do on offense. I expect Vanderbilt to do the same thing here this weekend. The other conference game I'm looking at out in the Pac-12, UCLA and Washington State. UCLA, with Chip Kelly, dead last in the country in yards per play on offense. And the one thing you have to do to keep up with Washington State is move the football. I don't think UCLA does that this weekend. I guess it's another game with a big favorite in Washington State, who is an 18.5-point favorite. I think it named the final in that one. But a more interesting handicap, maybe a little bit more complex here, UCF and Pitt. Pitt last week, the close loss, the heartbreaking loss to Penn State, but they did outgain the Nittany Lions in that game. UCF blows out Stanford at home. Stanford had no interest in playing that game. They play Oregon this weekend. They played USC the previous weekend. So it was sandwiched between conference games, long trip to Orlando. I think the market overreacted to that UCF win and overreacted to the awful coaching decisions by Pat Narduzzi. So I like Pitt at home this week, getting 11. It was a little bit higher earlier in the week, but I do like the Panthers here.
Want to take a look at another college football game as well. Who or what do you like in that Michigan-Wisconsin game? Because it certainly seems like in that matchup, a lot of people are tempted to take the under.
Yeah, the under makes a lot of sense here. I mean, obviously Michigan's had a lot of issues moving the ball. It seems like Josh Gattis and Shea Patterson aren't fully on the same page yet. Maybe the bye week will help with that. Also, another factor with the under, I mean, this is an 11 a.m. kickoff at Camp Randall. So place is going to be sleepy. Teams are going to have to create some of their own energy. Both teams also coming off of bye weeks. So I think the under does make a lot of sense here. But I will say this. I like the Michigan side. As much as it pains me as an Ohio State fan, I hate saying anything positive about that team up north, but over the summer, when the Golden Nugget opened its games of the year lines, Michigan was a 5-point favorite on the road at Wisconsin. It got bet up to Michigan -6.5, -7. Now all of a sudden in week three, when Wisconsin's beaten up two cupcake teams, they're worthy of being a 3.5-point favorite. I think this line has over-adjusted. I don't know if Michigan wins the game. I don't know if Wisconsin wins the game. But based purely on the line value, this line is not in the right place. So I'd like Michigan plus the 3.5 here.
You surprised that they've kept kickoff at 11 o'clock there at Camp Randall? That just seems like that would be a game made for TV to be played a little bit later at night.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why it's a start time that early. I mean, I guess, you know, you've got Notre Dame and Georgia and the primetime spotlight on CBS, and I don't even know what the ABC game is this week, but yeah, I mean, that's the kind of game you at least want that in a 3:30 time slot or something like that. But yeah, they've always been reluctant to move the Ohio State Michigan game. So maybe this one just kind of falls under the same umbrella for the Big Ten.
It's funny you mentioned that, because as you were stating that, I thought, boy, you're right. That seems like a marquee 3:30 matchup, and that's where Ohio State is playing the Miami Redhawks tomorrow. So
that's a marquee game. Real marquee game here.
Well, Marquee game or not, you can listen to it here on AM 930 WEOL at 100.3 tomorrow afternoon. And, well, we transition now into the NFL slate. Boy, here we are now, week three, and the NFL, as you stated in your article at bangthebook.com earlier today, it is really one of those things that's so tough to figure out from one week to the next, and it's still the most popular sport when it comes to wagering. Let's get into the Browns game on Sunday night. Right now, the Browns getting 3. You mentioned with a lot of heavy juice, it could go up to 3.5. Who do you like here and why?
Yeah, and in a lot of places, this line has gone up to 3.5 here. I think that the books are just sort of trying to find that point where they get some Browns money here because, look, the Browns did win on Monday night. We all know that. But if you watch that game, they didn't look very good. And they certainly didn't look good in week one. And with Tennessee playing as bad as they did last night, that's one of the things you'll notice about the NFL market is that based on what you've most recently seen, you know, the outcomes from a week or two beforehand, they'll start to have an impact in the betting market. And the fact that the Browns got blown out by Tennessee is the reason why this game is up to 3.5 now. And I also agree with the move. I mean, I like the Rams in this spot. For the Browns, it's a short week coming off of Monday Night Football with travel, so Tuesday is kind of a wasted day of practice. They're missing Christian Kirksey on defense, who I don't think enough people are talking about the loss of him and how much he means, especially against an offense like what the Rams are bringing to the table. I know Jared Goff is terrible on the road. Everybody's been talking about that this week, but I don't see the polish from Baker. I don't see the continuity with the new coordinators and the new head coach. I think that this is a big boy spotlight game that the Browns just aren't ready for yet. So I do like the Rams here, certainly like them more at 3 than at 3.5, but I'd be very hard-pressed to take Cleveland, even if this number got to 4.
The loss of Kirksey, I think, is something that certainly can't be undersold at this point because you're relying on a guy like Mack Wilson to step in and replace him. And while he had some flashy plays in the preseason, he certainly had a lot of rookie moments as well. But he will be tested for sure come Sunday night. Transitioning into another NFL game, the one that perhaps is getting the most amount of intrigue heading into the weekend, this Ravens-Chiefs matchup, it's getting a lot of hype. Do you like the over here, or do you like the Ravens getting 5.5?
I think what's really interesting to consider about this game, and, you know, I tell my listeners this all the time on my show, that you want to look for context clues in the betting market, some things that will kind of tell you what the expectation is as far as game flow is going to go. This total went up from 53.5 to 55 or 55.5 in the middle of the week. Now it's coming back down, and I know there's some wind concerns for this game at Arrowhead, but obviously, when you think about the total coming down on this game, that should benefit Baltimore. You know, I mean, you don't want to have to go drive for drive, score for score with Patrick Mahomes. Maybe Lamar Jackson can do it. But the fact that this total is coming down a little bit, I don't think it's exclusively weather-related. I think there are some people out there that think Baltimore's defense can have some success here. And the line indicates that as well, coming down from 6.5 to 5.5. The concern that I have is that Baltimore is very banged up in the secondary. I don't think Jimmy Smith is going to play again this week. Even if he does, he's certainly at less than 100%. So I think Mahomes can do what he wants here. And also, I think this Chiefs defense may be a little bit underrated coming into the season because they do still have a very strong pass rush. They're kind of an all-or-nothing defense. Either they get to the quarterback or they don't, and they give up some big plays. Let's see how Lamar Jackson throws on the run here. He's completed some passes in the pocket, but how does he do having to leave the pocket and throw the ball down the field? I think that's a big litmus test for him here this week. So I would lean with the Chiefs minus 5.5, but it's a tough game to handicap for a variety of different factors.
Should be a fun one to watch, no question about that. And Matt Douglas is chomping at the bit about the NHL. And I have not had the chance to check out if you guys have your NHL previews up just yet at bangthebook.com. And if you don't have them up, do you guys know when those are going to go up?
We don't have anything up as of yet, but we've got a very, very good NHL guy. His name is Parker Michaels. He'll be doing a lot of futures stuff for us, Stanley Cup futures, the individual player awards, some division previews, over-under season point totals. He'll have a lot of that stuff coming out here probably next week. Again, it's like anything else. You want to make sure these teams get through the preseason healthy. And, you know, with a good handful of games in the preseason, I think each team plays maybe 5 or 6. You certainly have some injury concerns to worry about. So I think he's waiting for that to kind of settle in, and then he'll start publishing some of that stuff over at bangthebook.com.
Something tells me the Jackets aren't going to be the favorite to get the cup this season. It's just my guess there.
No. You know what? I mean, I think that they could certainly be better than people are expecting, but you know, the goaltending is a big question for them.
For sure.
Absolutely. Well, before we let you go, the Indians right now tied with the Tampa Bay Rays for that final wild card spot. The Tribe has 9 games left. Adam Burke, what say you? How many victories do the Indians need in order to get into the playoffs?
Ooh, get into the playoffs or get a tiebreaker game on Monday? Which one?
We'll count the tiebreaker game on Monday, too.
All right. I mean, I think at a minimum, obviously, you've got to go at least 6-3 to give yourself a really good chance at doing it. I don't think 5-4 is going to be good enough. So I'd say 6-3, 96 wins, which how crazy is that? You could win 96 games and not even make a wild card tiebreaker game. That's insane the way that baseball is right now with how top heavy the sport is.
Yeah, and you know what? If I'm not mistaken, I think most sports books had them at 90.5 wins back at spring training. It was shortly before the Frankie Lindor injury, and it was one of those things that was being discussed that 90.5 we thought was a half-decent number. They're going to surpass that, and they probably – not probably, but they still might not make the playoffs. So just you're right, wild how that works. Adam, a pleasure as always, my friend. We always appreciate the time. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds great. Take care, boys.
Thanks, Adam.